God bless you. Church, do you now see the promise for this month? That son said his goodness is running after him. God said this month, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Can I hear amen to that? And that goodness of God will continue to run after you in the mighty name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we have worship. It is time to hear from the Lord. And that goodness of God shall continue to run after us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we want to bless your name for the promise you have for us this month. That you continue to show us your goodness. That your glory will continue to pass before us. That we continue to see that even the air we breathe, the hand we lift, the voice that we voice out, and everything is all part of your goodness. And this goodness shall never cease in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we go into your word, what you want us to hear today, what you want to speak to us, Father, let it manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear from you, Lord. Let your glory, let it pass through us right now and forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are not going to that direction of goodness of God in the message, but I just want to emphasize that every situation, the God's glory is passing. It now depends on you what you see within that every time that glory is passing. But believe me, the glory of God is in the goodness of God. The goodness of God is in the glory of God. And that is why every time God is good. Today, we'll be looking at our topic, which, sister, let's read from Luke 22, verse 19. Luke 22, 19.
And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Yes. The topic for today is do this in remembrance of me. I will come back to the reason why I choose this topic. We just celebrated Easter, and for the glory of God, we have Easter service, Sunday service, we have Good Friday service. So, it just occurred to me, and God was talking to me, do this in remembrance of me. And when I look at this particular phrase, do this in remembrance of me. The question that first came to my mind is, in this particular church, every first Friday of the month, we do hear this word. Even if you don't hear it directly, we hear something similar to it. Do we really have the in-depth of this word that we are hearing? And the question is, do what? In remembrance of what? That is Jesus Christ saying, do this in remembrance of me. And we know that the Lord's Supper is what he is saying we should do in remembrance of him. The reason why this topic came up was because of the message that Brother Marcus gave on the Good Friday. He was talking about memorial. I will come back to that later. So what memory do you have with all the communion we have been having in this church? Is that memory only limited for the period that you are here? Let's go back to the Old Testament in the scripture. What happened in Exodus 12:14.
So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as the feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance.
Here, the children of God, that is the Israelites, were instructed to celebrate the Passover in remembrance of the night, that very night that the angel passed by their homes, where they have marked their doors with blood of the lamb. And God issued this instruction. So this day shall be to you a memorial. Ramakos was talking about memorial here. And he listed a couple of points. Likewise, brethren, as God's choosing people, God has chosen us. And we are free from that bondage of sin through the blood that Jesus Christ has shed on the cross of Calvary. And before Jesus Christ was crucified, the scripture makes it clear that Jesus Christ had the last supper with the disciples. And during this meal, Jesus instructed the disciples to continue to do it. Do what? That is the Last Supper in remembrance of him. Now, talking about the supper, what is the supper itself? What does it mean? The word supper means dinner or evening meal. The Last Supper is what we call the last meal Jesus ate with his disciples before his betrayal and his arrest. That is what Jesus Christ ate with the disciples. If you look at the scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all this gospel, they recorded this scenario. They recorded this particular thing we are talking about today. So, brethren, it was more than Jesus' last meal. It was a Passover meal as well. It is very important because of the command Jesus has given in the scripture, that Luke 22, verse 19, which we just read now, say, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus has given this command because he wants us to always remember that particular, the sacrifice, rather, that he has offered for us. Because that is, during the meal, he predicted that he's going to shed his blood and what he's going to pay on the cross of Calvary. In addition to predicting his suffering and death for our salvation, as recorded, if you look at Luke 22, 15 to 16. Sister, do you have it there?
Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Brethren, Jesus also used the Last Supper to teach the Passover with new meaning. To teach the Passover with new meaning. He instituted a new covenant. He established an ordinance for the church and forecasted Peter's denial of him and Judas Iscariot's betrayal. It was during that Last Supper that he has established this. So Passover has always been a special holy event for the Jewish people. That is to remember that day that I mentioned earlier on, when they were spared from the death in the land of Egypt, when they were in slavery. Brethren, during the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus took two symbols. There are two symbols associated with Passover, and introduced them with fresh meaning as a way to remember his sacrifice, which saved us from spiritual death and deliver us from spiritual bondage. Let's look at Luke 22, verse 17 to 22.
Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed."
Brethren, what we've just heard is not strange to us. Apart from the fact that every first Friday of the month, we are hearing some of the things we just heard now. A couple of weeks back, we have the Easter celebration. We are not in the Easter period now, but I just want to remind us about the purpose of communion, why we are having communion. If you listen to what Jesus Christ just said here, you will discover that those words during the Last Supper about the bread and the cup echo what he has said when he fed 5,000 people. What did he say that time? Let's go back to the book of John 6, 33 to 35. John 6. You see what he said about the bread.
"For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
Jesus has come from heaven and give life to me and you. We are no longer under what? Under bondage. He has come down to give life to us. Verse 34.
"Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.'"
See, every time they want that bread, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Because of the circumstances here, in this region per se, whenever we have the opportunity of special service, most time we also have communion service. Disciples, they were asking, "Give us always." Read on, sister.
And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst."
So when you partake wholeheartedly in the communion, it means, what are the mountains that you are thinking is too high? It means those mountains will be leveled in the mighty name of Jesus. So he is saying that he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Let's jump to verse 51, sister.
"I am the living bread."
He is saying he's the living bread, yes?
"Which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world."
You see, he has been predicting his death long time back. He has been predicting it. Let's jump to verse 54 and 55.
"For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed."
Read on.
54, brother?
Yeah, 54.
"Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up from the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed."
Brothers and sisters, we are talking about the Last Supper. We learned about the principle of servanthood, even in that Last Supper. Also, we heard about forgiveness. Jesus Christ is saying, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Every first Friday here, we partake in the communion. Do you know the meaning? When Jesus said that my flesh is the bread, that doesn't mean you are taking it. It's metaphor that we are talking about here. So, brethren, during that Last Supper, we can learn about the principle of servanthood and forgiveness. Why? Because it was during that time that he also washed his discipleship feet. So it means Humbleness. As you partake in the communion, you need to humble yourself before God and before man. Luke 22, 26 to 27.
But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table, yet I am among you as the one who serves.
So we can see the spirit of servanthood here. He who governs as he who serves. For who is greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I'm among you as the one who serves. Let this continue to remind us that we need to humble ourselves. As a Christian, let your behavior, let your character, let people see you outside and say, yes, he is a Christian. Your character will portray whom you are before people. People will have confidence that I want to have the same faith that this brother, this sister is having. With what we just read, is it not worthy of remembrance? He said, do this in remembrance of me. Even his humbleness, the humbleness of Jesus Christ, we need to follow that footstep and do that as well in remembrance of him. And typically, the Passover meal was a family celebration. If you see what happened in that particular scenario when Jesus Christ was with his disciples, let's look at, verse 14 there of Luke.
When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
Now, this verse confirmed that the apostles were alone with Jesus Christ. We suggest that this particular meal has specific meaning for the church today. Because the apostles that we see, they became the foundation for the Christian, for the churches. So, he said, do this in remembrance of me. The apostle became the foundation for the churches. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2, verse 20.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Every churches, the Christianity, were built on the foundation of apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is who? Jesus Christ himself. He's the cornerstone. So the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper today, is remembered during communion service. That is why I said each time, every first Friday, we hear what we are hearing now. Maybe not in details. Most time, we talk about 1 Corinthians 11. That is where we talk about it. So the Lord's Supper is reminding us about what Paul told the Corinthians in that 1 Corinthians 11. That is when you read from 23 to 33. We are not going into that now. So the Last Supper was a significant event and proclaimed a turning point in God's plan for the world, because Christ's death atoned for the sin of his people. His blood rescued us from death and saved us from slavery. There is no more the Old Testament sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ has taken us from that slavery, and we are delivered, and we are saved. So the Last Supper before his crucifixion was marked by sorrow, as the Lord shared with his disciples, which lay immediately ahead. It's marked with sorrows. Let's go back to that Luke 22, verse 14. to 15 now.
When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer."
Before he suffered. Imagine you, Pastor Abraham is visiting you, and he said he has come to eat with you before he will be arrested or before he suffer. Will you be happy to eat that meal? You'll be worried. The same thing with disciples. They were worried. We are not going to that story, but we all know that, yes, they said, whatever happened, we are with you. People of God, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the church that should be taken very seriously and very soberly. It is not something that someone should just carelessly partake of. Every time when we have the communion table here, we talk about warning, warning, warning. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This scripture warns us.
Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves.
Yeah, read on. He said, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Before coming here for communion, as you sit down, always examine yourself. Whether you are in the faith, test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Today is our communion service. As you are sitting down, brethren, begin to examine yourself. Our God is God of mercy. He always has mercy upon us. At every time, at every moment, when you genuinely confess your sins, he will forgive you. Because Jesus Christ has rendered his life on the cross for our sins. So for every first Friday of the month, we have continued to urge you to examine yourself. By taking a closer look at yourself, stand before the mirror of your heart and examine yourself. Take a closer look at your walk in life. Take a closer look at how you walk with the Lord. Take a closer look at what you do when you are alone. Take a closer look when you have the power, when you have the authority over certain things, and somebody is looking for certain things. How do you use your power? How do you use that your authority? Take a closer look at yourself. It is not just to examine yourself, but to prove yourself as well. You can't examine yourself. You can't say, okay, this is what I do, this is how I do. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Okay, Lord, we forgive you. But you have to prove it. That yes, you genuinely examine yourself. That you genuinely know that yes, I'm not going back to my vomit again. Brethren, you need to examine yourself to see if you have that genuine salvation. Is it monthly salvation that you have? What I mean by monthly, you know that the first Friday we are having communion. Then it is that time you come gently to the service, you bow down, you look serious. You have to examine yourself whether you have that genuine salvation. Because if you have the genuine salvation, even when you are alone, in your privacy, in your office, irrespective of the circumstances around you, people will know that you are a follower of Christ. Can you boldly say in your office that I'm a Christian? That people will not challenge you? Are you sure you are a Christian? Can your subordinate or those that follow you, those that work with you, confidently say that, oh, my boss is a genuine Christian? Hallelujah. Examine yourself. Are you a good follower? You need to examine yourself and genuinely prove that, yes, I'm a T-boy in the office. And whenever my boss asks me to do something, I quickly rush it, doing it dedicatedly. Do you do that or you grumble first? Oh, he has come again. For you to be sure you are safe, you need to know that you have a change of life. You become new. Everything about you is new. People will see the old way of life and they will say, what has happened to him? What has changed? Because you have been delivered. You will love the brethren. Whether you know somebody or you don't know anybody, you are always there to render help. And when you love the brethren, you will hate the world. The things of the world. Believe me, when you hate the things of the world, people will not like you. Because you are not doing what they are doing. Your case is different in that sense. Positively, when you are safe, you will have love towards the children of God. When you are saved, you will always pray. Even for your enemy, you will pray for your enemy. Because you know that there is nothing they can do to you again. So today, let us continue to remind ourselves about that night, what happened when Jesus broke the bread and shared the wine with his disciples. He was telling them about what was about to happen. He was telling them, even at the point of arrest, he still performed miracle. He performed miracle. What am I saying here is that people might offend you. People might wrong you. And you have the power, all the power of this world to punish that person. The mercy of God is always there. We are taking the communion. If you are saved, if you have the genuine salvation, you will always have compassion on people. So for every Christian, for every communion time, it should be a time of great meditation and self-examination, as I've said earlier on, a time to remember what our Savior has done for us. I was referring to what Brother Marcus, his topic, he said, the cross as a memorial. What memories do you have? Where you have walked before, what memory do they have about you? Even if you are not walking places before, you have walked only in one place. What memory do they have about you? Brahmakos was talking about the cross as a memorial. He mentioned God's love. He said we should remember that cross is a memorial about God's love. How do you implement it in your office? He said memorial, the cross is a memorial about forgiveness. Do you have genuine forgiveness or surface forgiveness? He talked about that cross is a memorial about salvation. What memory do you remember? Is it just for festivities? Easter is over and everything is over. If you watch this film, Passion of Christ, there are various versions of it. You will have the pictorial view of what Jesus Christ passed through. He saved you and me. So what is going up in your mind? What memory do you have for every communion that you partake here? Or do you just see it as monthly? Do you just see it as monthly program? That we only go with monthly. Brothers and sisters, What memory? What is the memory that you have? Brother Marcus was talking about the memory, the cross as a memory, memory of hope. Memory of what? Of hope. In addition to this memory that I've just mentioned, which just a reminder of what Brother Marcus said during his message, what should we remember about Jesus Christ? Let's go back to Luke 22. But hold on. I want to take it one by one. What should we remember about Jesus Christ? Luke 22, 19 to 23 provide answer for this. We should remember the body of Christ. Verse 19, sister.
And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Now, I picked my topic, "Do this in remembrance of me." But I'm picking something out from this scripture now. He said, "This is my body, which is given to you." That particular phrase in the middle, "This is my body, which is given for you." Jesus knew about the horrible beating that he's going to receive, that he's going to take for you and me at the hand of Roman soldiers. He knew about the mockery that was going to come. These are the things that we need to remember. His body, the body of Christ, what he suffered. He knew about the shame he will have to endure as he will be hung upon the cross. He knew about the same people that were shouting Hosanna 5 days earlier who said, "Crucify him." He knew about the disciples he was sharing the meal with who abandoned him to face the angry mob that will come to drag him away. If you are saying you are very strong in faith, just pray that temptation will not come. The kind of temptation that will come to you and you will deny Christ will never happen to you in Jesus' name. We have people that never deny. A young lady somewhere in Africa, this is recent thing I'm talking about, he refused to deny Jesus Christ. She was stoned to death. This happened in Nigeria. That, I think, last year or so. She was stoned to death. How many people can do that? So we need to remember the body which he has given for our sake. So, he knew about the disciples. Yes, as I'm saying. The amazing thing is that even though he knew all those things, he still chose the word, "This is my body, which is given for you." When you hear that message during the communion service, "This is my body that is given to you," how do you interpret it? We are talking about this, what he suffered because he was beaten. You know, at the wave of his hand, he can just command and those Roman soldiers can be destroyed. But because of you and me, he never do that. He loves us. That is why he has not done that. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave his body away to be a sacrifice for our sins. The only thing that he really asked in return was for us to remember what happened. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." I want you to know that the bread that is being used as a way of remembering the sacrifice Jesus has done for us, bread is being used in place of that. That has been freely given to us. So you need, when he said, "Remembrance of me," remember his body. Another thing that I want you to remember about is in verse 20. Sister, read verse 20.
Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you."
Okay. Another thing for you to remember, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Here, Jesus is talking about New Testament or covenant that is going to come from his blood that will be shed for us. He has shed that on the cross. We need to remember that. If you have watched that film I mentioned, Passion of Christ, or maybe any other film that you have watched, you will discover that, yes, really he suffered. He shed the blood on the cross of Calvary. So when he said, "In remembrance of me," we have to continuously remember the blood that he has shed on the cross of Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ will take place of the animals that is being used as sacrifice in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and the blood will be atonement for our sin once and for all, and never having to share that again. It is once and for all that blood has been shed. Brethren, you are not going to buy anything from the market or like ram or like goat you want to offer sacrifice. Jesus has paid it all with his blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ, we have to remember that. Hebrews 19 verse 12. Hebrews 19 verse 12.
"Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption.
Yes, not with the blood of goat and calf or any other thing. He has paid the full price. That is why each time you partake in communion, here, you need to remember the blood of Jesus. You need to do what? Remember the blood of Jesus to create a new covenant, a new testament between God and man. He has shared that for us. The next thing that you should remember is in verse 21 to 23, the betrayal of Christ. Verse 21 to 23, sister.
"But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing.
Here we have another phrase. The hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. The hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. The fact of this matter is that the disciples were sitting. I told you it's a family affair. At that meal, it is him and his disciples. When he was coming to Jerusalem, a lot of people were following him. A lot of people, they see themselves as part of his disciples wherever he goes. But we are talking about inner carcass now. They were with him in that particular room. And we made to understand that the traitor who betrayed him was also in that garden, was also there with him. As we all know, he was one of the closest persons to Jesus Christ, but he betrayed him. He turned him into the hand of the enemy. The question I want to ask us here is, is our attitude appearing to be like betrayer to Jesus Christ? And every time, because it's like also we are gathering around that table as we partake in the communion. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Is our attitude, our behaviors, is it in line to that? Do we have double face? You appear differently when you are here. When you are out of the sight, you appear differently. Come to think of it. A close friend turned Jesus Christ to the enemy. If that was not bad enough, you know what he did? It's not just saying that is him. He went to kiss him. You can only do that to somebody you're close to. Somebody that you see as your family. Somebody that you see as your relative. Somebody you are very, very close to. It is so sad that the last kiss for Jesus Christ is coming from his inner carcass, and that kiss is what led to his arrest. It's part of what, how Judas gave him out to people. Praise the Lord. I wrote here that the last gesture of human kindness, the last tender kiss that our Savior received in human form on this earth came from the lips of the enemy. How many people here in this congregation could also fall into that category? How are you nailing him to cross? How are you revealing him? How are you handing him to enemy? Each time we come for the Lord's Supper or we come for the communion, that is why we continuously reminding us to examine ourselves, to remind ourselves about what? To examine about ourselves about what? We need to find out if our character is betraying Christ. If our attitude is betraying Christ, we should thoroughly examine our Christian life. I go back to the scripture we normally use when we are having the communion, 1 Corinthians 11:28.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup.
You need to examine yourself. Then you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Anyone participating in Lord's table need to recognize the gravity of what they are about to do. That is why we always remind us, examine yourself, examine yourself. There are two reasons for self-examination before you participate. Let's go back to, still remain in 1 Corinthians 11, now back to verse 27.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord.
Partaking unworthily make one guilty of Jesus Christ's death. If you are not worthy in participating, it makes you guilty of his death. His death just be like in vain. It makes it like that. This verse gives us a good reason to examine ourselves. If we eat the bread and drink of the cup unworthily, then we have in fact become guilty of Christ's death. That is a heavy statement, that one that is not taken seriously enough when it comes to partaking in the communion. Verse 29 and 30, sister.
For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep.
Partaking of worldly lead to sickness, even to death. But our God is God of mercy. He's God of mercy. That is why when you examine yourself, we ask you to ask for forgiveness of sin. That you ask for forgiveness of sin. Brethren, there's really no way to misunderstand this scripture. It's very clear. Examine yourself. Examine yourself as you come for the communion. There are benefits when you partake in communion. It heals. Even the incurable disease, it heals. It is a coverage for divine protection. It gives life. John 6, verse 53.
Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Yes, it gives life. As I conclude, we are advised to extremely careful and prayerfully before participating, to examine ourselves. Holy Communion serves as part of what we use to remember what he has done. So we should approach the Holy Communion in holy appreciation to draw those benefits, to remember Christ's sacrifice, to testify to Christ's death, to acknowledge that Christ's blood brings salvation. The Lord's table is an ordinance that has been given to the Christian, to the Christian church as a memorial. The Lord Jesus Christ, we should take this time, we should take time to remember this. Brethren, the body of Christ that was given as sacrifice for us, the body that was shed to create New Testament between God and man. So partaking in communion is not just ritual, as Pastor normally mentions here. It's not just a monthly ritual. It is what God, what Jesus asked us to do, to remember, to remind about what he has done. Do this in remembrance of me. Unconfessed sin need to be placed before the Lord as you examine yourself, so that you don't partake unworthily. You confess your sin. You table everything before God. Anything that may be unpleasant to the Lord needs to be dealt with and settled with him in your heart. When you partake unworthily, you are betraying Christ. Examine yourself. At this point, I'll bring the message to the end. Brethren, examine yourself before you partake in today's communion. And as we enter into the communion service now, just as Christ has directed us to do in remembrance of him, as you are sitting down, begin to examine yourself. Begin to examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:28 say, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. While you are examining yourself, remember these three R's. Three R's. Number one is remember that Christ laid down his life on your behalf. Remember that deliverance he brought through the shedding of his blood. Remember the suffering he endured for your sake. Remember the fact that he would rather die than spend eternity without you. That is the first R. The second R is reflect. As you are sitting down, begin to reflect on the fact that we don't deserve what Jesus did for us. Reflect on the fact that Jesus knew that and he did it anyway. Reflect on the fact that we don't always give Jesus the honor and the priority he deserves. Reflect on the fact that one of the reasons Jesus died is allow his Holy Spirit to live with us. The third one is respond. How are you responding? How are you responding? Before you participate in the Holy Communion, have faith. Believe that, yes, you will receive what you're asking for. Remember to forgive those that have offended you. And remember to reference God as we pray. Let us bow down our head and ask him himself to examine our heart today. Ask him to show you anything that is not pleasant to him. Ask him to reveal any secret pride and non-confessing, any rebellious or forgiveness that will be hindering your relationship with him. Tell him that as I take this bread, which represents his life, that was broken, that it will reveal more deeper of his knowledge in your life. Talk to God. Pray unto him to have compassion upon you. Our Father in heaven, as we approach this table, we come humbly before you, recognizing the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we sanctify the bread and the wine. Let them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus. May this communion strengthen our faith, deepen our love for you and for one another, and renew our spirit. Help us to remember the great cost of salvation and to live a life of gratitude. Father, as we partake in the communion, we pray, God Almighty, the purpose of this communion shall be established firmly in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, the ushers will guide you as you come forward. Please let us quickly come forward. Let's be fast, please.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of of rapture.
Just rise up as we bring the service to end. Praising my Savior all the days long. That shall be my story, and that shall be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise shall not depart or miss in the mighty name of Jesus. As we have taken this Holy Communion, the word that's going out, as we remember that the Lord shed his blood for us on Calvary, the word that's gone out is that it is finished. I don't know who you are, whatever you have been holding on to. Participating in this Holy Communion, the Lord is saying it is finished. You're starting afresh with him in the mighty name of Jesus. That difficulty is gone in the mighty name of Jesus. And you will come back to testify on a day like this, when things you thought were done and out, the Lord did a turnaround for you. Just like he did on salvation on that day, on the cross that day. He turned around everything from generation. And we have the gift of eternal life. May this be a starting point in your life. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father Lord, we say thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Freedom of speech, freedom of association, to worship and to praise you, Father Lord. Lord, we say thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to share of this communion table, to remember what you have taught us, Father Lord. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, it's a solemn moment because the message was about the Holy Communion, in which you instructed us to do remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. And Father Lord, we're remembering you today. And your hearts are filled with gratitude. Thank you for Pastor Francis that you have used to bring this message. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless him. Continue to bless the works of his hand. Continue to be with his family. Continue to be with his children. Continue to increase him, Father Lord. Where he has taken from, Father Lord, we ask that you replenish in the mighty name of Jesus. Father Lord, as we depart here, Father Lord, we ask that your power goes with us. We ask, Father Lord, that we shall be able to overcome every challenge that's on our way, Father Lord. On top of that, Father Lord, may we declare your goodness. May we not keep it to ourselves, Father Lord. Take the glory, take the adoration, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's just share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.